I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Gavin Emmett, and this is the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Today, I'm joined by Keith Ewan and Julian Ryder here in Austria, ahead of round 10 of the season. And of course, when we left things last time out in Sachsenring, it was the halfway point of the season. So now we've got 9 races in 14 weeks. Seems a good time to find out where we're at, give a bit of a midterm report as things stand at the halfway point. So coming here into Austria, I'm sure it would be Marc Márquez who's had the best summer holiday of all the riders. 48 points his advantage, and things just seem to be working for him at the moment, including in the last round in Sachsenring.
It's all down to him. Marc Márquez has done it. He came to this season with a motorcycle that didn't work, still running an old chassis, still with a motor that not only did it not do what he wanted it to do out of a corner, it didn't do what he wanted it to do in a straight line anymore. They'd lost speed and performance in so many different areas. So it's all down to Marc Márquez what he's done. Point being as well is having a long conversation with Cal Crutchlow this morning, which was quite fortunate. And congratulations to Cal, of course. New baby born Willow earlier on this month, and the baby is doing well, as is mum Lucy as well. So many congratulations from all of us on BT Sport. Yeah, I'm sure most of you out there,
absolutely,
fans-wise. But one of the points that Cal made, which was really interesting, He's very eloquent in private. I love Cal. He's a really nice guy in private. Of course, some might think he's got a bit of an edge to him in public sometimes. But he was quite... what he was saying about the engineering of this, since this new electronics package has been allied to the seamless gearbox, the gearbox now doesn't seem quite so seamless. There now is that kind of that upset in the middle of a corner if you go for another gear, and ally that again to the third particle from a motorcyclist's worst nightmare, the tyres. So you've got new tyres, an electronics package that doesn't quite work as well with the seamless gearbox as Honda's electronics used to. That is a real triple-edged sword to try and get over for Honda riders, and the only man that's done it is Marc Márquez.
And first thing about Márquez, you notice straight away in the summer holidays, the tweet of himself on the beach, smiling, enjoying himself, while everybody else was here testing and worrying.
Good thing, though, it gives some riders an opportunity to get fit. Jack Miller, of course, he's... I nearly said Jack Valentine then. I don't know why that was in my mind. Morning or afternoon or evening, Jack, if you're listening. But, Jack Miller, fully fit now. Yeah. For the first time.
And he's been out on his bike. He was out this morning. I've seen him going around the track on his bicycle. He's a changed man, I tell
what
you.
What is wrong with people
he's
on bikes?
He spent a lot of time with Cal Crutchlow over summer. What about Marc? Yeah, he's able to ride that Honda, but he's been mature, hasn't he, this season? Picking
changed
up points
man.
In the past where he might have thrown it down the road.
The image for me was Assen, crossing the line. He resisted the temptation to race Jack Miller and came across the line. He was banging on the side of his crash helmet and staring at his team. See, I thought about it. See, I did what you told me.
Didn't seem to think too much in Sachsenring, though, when he went out. How brave was he there extend that championship lead?
Ludicrously early to change to the slick-shod bike. That was something I don't think anybody could have thought of. But once again, it was a Yamaha cock-up. Same in Misano last year, watching each other, watching the people around him, instead of Valentino I'm talking about, rather than paying attention to his pit board.
Yep.
He wasn't to know early on that Márquez was now 7 seconds a lap faster than him and therefore had the time to catch and pass him on slick tyres. So there, again, once again, there is this disconnect there seems to be between management. And sometimes you can be such a big superstar, everybody has to listen to you. Mm. It's your opinion. It's your way of doing it that counts more than anything. But it's a situation where you maybe... He outfoxed himself, Valentino.
Well, he was doing the old thing, wasn't he? I'm doing what he does. He was looking at Dovi.
Yeah, but that's... I've had a word with the team today, and I asked them about the atmosphere in the garage after the race in Sachsenring. And they were saying, look, there's only so much we can do. It was Valentino's decision. We had the tyres he wanted on the bike. He came in when he wanted. It was his decision. They said, even if we had a radio, as some people have speculated there may well have been, even if we had put Marc Márquez's lap times on the pit board, he still would have chosen when to come in because he was seeing it how he sees it best. And that time, he was just wrong.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I agree with that. You know, it is when he feels it is best to make that change on tyres. Because, was it Pol Espargaró only got to turn one when he had slicks on for the... You know, Marquez got out there, went like a bat out of hell on the narrowest of lines that and made it work, whereas a lot of others were struggling and going off track as soon as they put slicks on. So
this is exactly what you were saying about Marquez making that Honda work and do what others
can't. One else can.
Back to your gearbox point of a couple of minutes ago.
Yep.
This is the hangover. When Honda introduced that gearbox, which is not a standard seamless box, it is very different technology, incredibly high technology, and you needed their old, incredibly sophisticated electronics to make it work properly. And what's happened is the new electronics, they're nowhere near as complicated. They take a long time to adjust as well.
Well, that's the point I was making. It's a disconnect between the two. And I don't think they're sophisticated that you can adjust them enough
exactly,
to get it right.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. What not only are they difficult or if not impossible to get exactly right for the Honda seamless box, it takes forever. And you used to be able to, Cal could say, for instance, a Honda rider could come into the pits, I want less traction control in turn six. By the time he got his crash helmet off, it had been done. Now it's an overnight job.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get on to how the gearbox is going to be important here this week and in particular this track. But I want to talk about Lorenzo as well, though. He's the one who's in second in the championship. I've just spoken to him, actually, and he said he's had a good rest, recharged the batteries and got back in the mode. He needs to because he's had two rotten races. He's had three rotten races,
pretty much.
But what has been eating at him? What is there? We know he can come back. He's shown that last year in particular. So he's got everything there.
What's been eating at him? I would say Marquez's new attitude to this year to take the points when it counts. Marquez is giving no one an opportunity. You know, this year is about... You know, who crashes the most? Who, you know, you crash, you give away 25 points to somebody, that's going to take a hell of a lot of getting back. And the thing is with Marquez at the moment, I mean, he can make the same mistakes as everyone else in the second half of the season as they've made in the first half, and it could all be levelled up come Valencia.
But is there anything in the relationship with Yamaha, the fact he's leaving at the end of the year?
I doubt that very much.
I think that, personally,
there are the new technologies, of course, that will be affecting every rider and who gets the better of that. But I think also the fact that Marquez is, again, looking a bit invincible in a different kind of a way. The first 2 years he was invincible, he had the bike and he had the speed. Now, even with a motorcycle that no one else can make work right, he is doing it.
Having said all that, though, I just want to say about Valentino Rossi, we're all talking, and we've all said, I think watching him this year, he looks... perhaps the strongest rider. He looks the strongest
six
package.
Six front row starts this year. When did Valentino last get six front rows out of nine? Well, a very, very long time ago.
That just puts what Marc Marquez is doing in context because Valentino's 59 points behind.
Precisely. And Valentino's mistake in Assen, and it was his mistake, that crash in Assen, not coming in Germany, undoubtedly a mistake. He ended up... Jack Miller did him on the last lap.
Can we talk a bit more about that, please? Because I think that we didn't really get to the bottom of that, the disconnect between the team and the rider. Yeah, Valentino knows when he as a rider, it suits him and when it's safe for him to change to slick tyres on the track. You can't take that away from a rider, whatever the boys are hanging over the wall. But they knew, bearing in mind that every sector time they have in front of them, as it happens, as Marc Marquez crossed every one of the four sectors of the track, they knew how much faster than Valentino was. Did they put Valentino? Did they put Mark's time on?
They didn't
put
his times on, but they were just saying box. I was stood there. I was there watching the head scratching and the frustrations. But
that
does come down to the rider, doesn't it?
That for me is still wrong because I don't think there was enough emphasis from the management, from the team on the wall to give him enough. He obviously didn't get a plan worked out perfectly well prior to the race. That's the key here. It's knowing. Now, what signs are you going to give me if it really becomes critical, if I'm going to be overtaken? Those are the questions that need answers.
But ultimately, it's the rider that makes the decision.
Yes, it is. If he hasn't got the full set of information on the board.
Mm.
But how do you communicate that? You've got to have some trust in your team as well, which is a two-way thing.
Yeah. Marc is 7 seconds faster, you know, 7 seconds plus, or whatever it is.
You said that was his decision.
But Marc also said he trusted his team implicitly on things like no intermediates and other information. He said he's learnt to do what he's told.
Talking of intermediates, I mean, how unlucky was Scott Scotty Redding. I mean, he was on intermediates. And do you know what? I looked at his times compared with Mark Marquez's slick shod times and the intermediate shod times. He was only a couple of tenths shy of what
they were
Mark
working
had been
well.
Doing.
They just didn't work well for long enough.
That's exactly right.
What we always thought, the window where they are the answer.
He said
is
he expected
so
10 laps out of them, and he said, I probably got four.
Yeah.
But there was no testing. They'd never, ever done them.
Exactly. It was guesswork.
He said he won't be using them in a race again, but he would definitely use them in qualifying.
Yeah, well,
which is what I always thought they were the answer to.
I think Saxon Ring is the death of the intermediate in racing
for me. Yeah.
I can't see that coming
quite
out
possibly.
Again.
Quite possibly.
Shame that you had to pay £100 to Oggy anyway.
No, but at least I was proved right.
No, you weren't. No. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to pay the £100.
No, Keith, you're missing the subtlety of my point.
It's like a rider here. No wonder he's called Julian Ryder with these excuses.
It's my real name. I said they wouldn't be, you know, that they would be too narrow a window for them to be any use in a race. And I was right about that. Some nerks use them isn't my fault.
just because you had
£100. I'm going to pass that one on to Scott Redding.
You obviously had £100 to spare then. I didn't know you were that wealthy.
Well, I like to give to charity occasionally.
Hodgson's charity.
Just making that point there on Scott Redding. He's on the Ducati. He expected a lot more. And we did from Ducati as a whole. What's gone wrong really, because they started the season strongly. It looked like we're going to get a Ducati win at some point.
Maybe this weekend.
It may well be now, but it hasn't so happened in the first nine races. It's too late now.
It's been a really odd situation, hasn't it? I mean, because Andrea Iannone had the contract in the bank till he wiped out Dovi in Argentina. Then that deal was put on hold for a moment. Dovi's ended up getting the deal, and Andrea Iannone being shoved out the door. So Dovi's won that one. Do you know what? This weekend is Dovi's 250th Grand Prix. I was looking it up before I came on. I do some work sometimes. And 250th Grand Prix. He's only 30 years old still. But yet we've been talking. He's been a two-time world champ.
But he's only won one Moto Grand Prix race.
Point exactly. There's so much unfinished business with Dovi. Mm. I mean, the question still is he the faster man? I reckon out of the two this weekend, if it's going to be a Ducati win, it'll be Iannone.
Why not Scott Redding?
The only issue I think we've got there is tyres in particular here this weekend with the Ducati, which is something we'll get on to.
To point out, Keith, and Ducati, the pressure on the factory Ducati riders, only two rostrums each and two front row starts for Iannone.
And Casey Stoner hanging in the wings all the time just to annoy everybody. Yeah. Two new rear Michelins this weekend, by the way, as well. So that Ducati's... And do you know what? I've just been and spoken to Michelin a minute ago because I was a bit concerned about how hot it's scheduled to be on Sunday. It was 30-something degrees here when they tested and the track temperature was 55. They're more worried about it being cold this weekend than hot. We were talking in the car on the way up, Jules, weren't we, about it
being... So they've got the heat covered.
But they haven't got the cold covered.
Yeah, because there were a few problems. We'll get onto this track in a second. Just on the Brits, really quickly, we've mentioned Cal. He has talked a good game, and he looked strong, but obviously lost points at the start of the season when he crashed out of those first three races. Then, last time out, gets into second place, takes that podium that's been deserved.
He's got a couple of major things out of the way, hasn't he? He's got that lovely second place, and he rode for that. That wasn't a gift.
Yeah,
he got the fastest lap
as well.
So Cal Crutch, though, proper on form in Saxon Ring. Not a great track for everybody. It was dodgy conditions, all the rest of it, but Cal made the most of it in difficult conditions, and he has been known to chuck it up the street. So finishing on the podium was brilliant, and he's had that lovely baby as well. That's out of his mind now. All are safe, all are well. You know, that...
Apart from he didn't want to come here this weekend. I prefer to stay at home.
Although we are expecting, I think Lucy said that they'd like to bring the baby to Brno. So we might see young Willow, as she's been named. Lovely name, by the way.
You mentioned Scott Redding about his possibilities here this weekend. He was fast in pre-season tests and he's had a lot of bad luck, we have to say. Tyres haven't got on with him, being a heavier rider than the Ducati. But he has had mechanical problems.
But let's say, just as we said, for Cal... In Germany, Scott Redding rode properly for that rostrum position in Assen. Front row start, overtook Pol Espargaró on the last lap to take third place.
Yeah, I think Scott's got what he needs to do the business, personally. We'll wait and see. It's the second half, Jules.
It is.
After you've had a reset, after you've had 3 weeks of reset, it was a bit of a, to be honest, it was a bit of a sporadic few Grand Prix prior to the midsummer break as well, wasn't it? We had 2 weeks off, then we had another 2 weeks off, then we had 3 weeks off.
Yep.
Now it's time to... We've got 14 weeks and
nine
rounds.
Race, yeah.
You know, and everybody's fired up for it now. It's really, really important to get down to business.
And not to get hurt, like now, at the start of these run of... so many races in short order.
Yeah, Danny, make sure you book in your Sundays over the next few weeks because it's coming thick and fast.
Stick with us. Well, the thick bit's for me.
Bradley Smith, I know what he's been up to. If you have a look on the Tech 3 website on their YouTube, they've put up an interesting video of Bradley Smith and Pollo Spargaro. I won't ruin it, but it does involve Bradley Smith dancing, but he hasn't been too much dancing on board the bike this year. He's trailing his teammate, struggled a little bit. He's got to be desperate for results.
He has, but he's got that deal for next year in the bank. KTM have come out massively this weekend. There's so much PR around here at the moment. Bradley's looking forward to that. That seems to be a proper deal that's going to look very, very interesting next year. He signed up to do the World Endurance round.
Yeah, Oschersleben.
Alex Lowe's didn't turn it down exactly, but Alex Lowe's didn't really want to do it. He won the Suzuka 8-hour, of course, as everybody knows at home. But now Bradley's signed up to do the next round of it, which is important.
The final round, exactly.
It's the crux time. And Bradley, could you find a more perfect person when it came to that?
Just right.
A thinker, someone that understands everything that's going on around him.
An 8-hour winner last year.
Yeah.
And fit as a butcher's dog.
There is that as well.
Yeah.
But he needs something soon. Eugene Laverty on the other side as well. His points run still continuing, still going on for the Irishman.
Eugene is experiencing the classic dilemma, isn't he? Stay in Moto Grand Prix paddock on an old bike for no money, or go to World Superbike, no doubt, for a competitive motorcycle and good wages.
Well, I mean, that comes down to what bike he's being offered and the terms he's being offered it at here in MotoGP. I suspect that it'll be to World Superbike, but that's only my personal thoughts rather than anything I know. Interesting as well, while we're on the subject of World Superbike, next year, Buriram is back on the calendar, it would seem. There's definite talks of Buriram in Thailand being a MotoGP round again next year. I mean, you remember me talking about it 18 months ago.
When you say again, you mean back on the
list.
Back on the list.
Of possibilities for next year.
Because Indonesia got knocked off. There was no way they were going to go there.
Yeah. No, Indonesia's not.
But they still, in theory, were supposed to be having a Grand Prix.
Well, I think the problem was that they wanted Grand Prix instead of World Superbikes. And I don't think Dorna, owning both, of course, were too keen on that. So it looks to me now like we're Thailand. It looks like we may have World Superbike at one end of the calendar and Buriram MotoGP at the other end.
I think it'd be great.
It's only a rumour at the moment. It's not set in stone.
It's usually about Aragon that we see a calendar, isn't it? So we've only got a month to go
But it must be quite a fairly well advanced, I would have thought, talks. I mean, they've been talking about it for some considerable time. It's only going to come down to money. They get a great crowd in Thailand, obviously, for motorcycle races.
Imagine with what it was for MotoGP, and you had Willer out there as well.
The problem is that we need to get booking, ladies and gentlemen. but don't say I said it was going to happen, because it might not still.
Indeed.
To underline that.
There's
still a long way to go before that's confirmed, so don't go booking anywhere just yet.
Let's talk about this weekend here at the Austrian Grand Prix. First time the Grand Prix circuit's been here for 19 years. The old Zeltweg, it was the A1 ring, the Oschersleben ring originally as well when it went out into the forest. Now the Red Bull ring that we come to. It's much changed over the years. It's a beautiful setup, we have to say, first of all, when you come through.
Stinks of money.
They really does. They haven't left anything short, have they?
No, stinks of money.
But it's a tricky venue. It's fast. It's going to be the fastest average speed, quicker than Phillip Island in terms of average speed.
That's
for Andrea Iannone.
Only nine corners.
116.3 miles per hour average.
That stuff doesn't worry me too much. It's good for Ducati, but the two left-handers together in the middle of the lap is the bit that just concerns me a bit at the moment. And the fact they've had to modify turn 10. Mm. It's been an untested modification. I know Danny Aldridge, when I spoke to the technical director a minute ago, was a bit concerned because he was just gritting his teeth a bit because it hasn't been tried. It hasn't been tested. And Friday morning is the first time that the riders are going to see this new marked layout. They haven't actually... They've just made some more painting, haven't they?
Yeah, I spoke to Cal Crutchlow and he said, why didn't they do it for the tests? Which was a bit strange, because they have only painted.
Well, I think it was only Stoner at that time who said that he thought that it was not quite so safe. I think other riders have got behind that train of thought since Stoner said.
And, of course, events between...
Of course, Luis, rest in peace.
Also, turn three is somewhere up at the top of the hill, that long stretch. It's a big climb that you don't notice. Really, actually, you say nine corners, it's actually really only four.
Yeah.
Aren't there? That's a fair comment.
With four straights in between, one, two, three. Which is why
we're talking about Ducati a lot. However, in the test, they were fastest when we came here 3 weeks ago.
Well, fastest.
But there were tyre issues. I've heard from all the Ducati riders say, hold up a second, we were fast, but there were issues with the tyres.
But now they've got those new ones that they've brought.
That they hope work, but they don't know at the moment. But there's a fuel consumption issue as well, with it being such a high average speed track.
Do you think that still, even now, with the extra litres and stuff they've got on board for this year, that's going to be interesting.
That would surprise me, but there's
They have, just speaking to the riders, they've just said it's just a concern. It's something to think about as well in terms of how are the tyres performing. If we're spinning up or not.
That'll knock the edge off them. If you've got a lot of tyre spin and they're getting close to fuel mileage, because then the Ducati's advantage suddenly becomes not an advantage.
Exactly. That's when it does get turned down.
Cal Crutchlow said as well earlier on that turn 10 will probably mean a gearing change in terms of second gear. He said we had it pretty much sorted, how we knew we were going to have it. But that actually, to be surprised, that changes things. So it's something he says everyone's in the boat of. But what do we learn, really, from the test, apart from Ducati's a fast? Because let's not forget, as Julian pointed out, Marc Marquez was on the beach.
I think that's key. Yeah? I mean, they've ridden an RC213 RS, or whatever it is, the road bike version around here, which seems slightly strange that you wouldn't test the real thing. But
they're saving test days for next year's bike, for later on in the year.
I understand that.
Yes.
And when you've got a 48-point lead, is it?
I think that's the number.
Yeah, well, then you have got a little bit to play with, haven't you, really? Yeah.
That's why I'm staying for the Brno test. I'm expecting something to roll out of the Honda garage there that might be interesting.
We've got a Twitter question that you've sent into at BT Sport MotoGP. First one we've got from Jack Bunning. Will this be Ducati's first win? If so, who? Which one?
That is the question. I've said this more than once, haven't I, that if Ducati are going to win one, it's got to be here. So let's assume Ducati are going to win.
Oh, there's an assumption.
I think it is an assumption. Let's say I'd say Iannone is the man to do it.
Well, that's what I said earlier. I mean, I think that out of the two, that would be my betting. But the fact is that you're right to bring us to that question of whether testing versus the real thing. Yeah. The real thing starts tomorrow. Testing goes out the window. They've got a base set up now, with the exception of turn 10, that they've now got to change and tune for. And
in terms of setup, I'm not going to say it's not the most difficult track. In terms of learning it, the riders say, you know what, after about 20 laps, you know your way around this place. And setting up, it really is hard braking, hard acceleration. Much else, not really. So that makes it
Texas.
Yeah, very similar to Austin. And who's strong there? Marc Marquez.
I think it's a little less technical than Texas. Even I could learn this one.
Twitter question from Parker. Don't know whether there's a first name or a last name there, but Parker, can a satellite team win here? Michelins are helping satellite teams bridge the gap, especially Ducati. Rub from Julian.
Well, Julian's already rubbed his beard and put Scott Redding on the table just a few minutes ago. And, you know, all things being equal, Scott's having a good run, but I still don't think so.
It's got to be a wet race, hasn't it?
I think we've had...
And we could well be, actually, with the forecast.
Very, very localised weather here, because of all the mountains around. You can see the rain about a mile away, but here it's fine.
Microclimates, don't you? In the hills.
I went out with my coat on, took it off, put my T-shirt on. I've got my coat on again. I can't believe it's gone up and down
like a yo-yo. Mr. Hewitt's wardrobe news, brought to you by...
Twitter question from Pip Jonas, which might help you with what you're about to say, Julian. Will Marc Marquez be able to outperform the Ducatis? He says he or she are going for a long-awaited Ducati win, but will Marquez come here and do the business?
Of course he will. But if Marc Marquez, as we know, this new model Marc Marquez for 2016, if he thinks winning is going to take too much of a risk, then he will settle for second or third or even fourth.
54 wins if he wins this weekend, same as Mick Doohan. But Mick Doohan did it all on the big bikes, of course.
As Mick would say, Formula One drivers don't count Formula 3000.
Absolutely.
And Mick is here this weekend.
He was on the plane on the way over.
I thought I'm rehearsing the words of the man, Mick himself.
When you got off the plane and onto the bus, you know, and I looked across and there was this sort of shortish, graying sort of 50-year-old fella in the corner, and I thought, looks like Mick Doohan. It is Mick Doohan. And already Troy Corser had come on and caused trouble as well. Everybody's out here this weekend.
But no Casey Stoner out here this weekend.
Saving himself for Phillip Island, surely.
Do you reckon? I love Stoner.
I do. I genuinely do. Have you seen the prices of some of the tickets, grandstand tickets at Phillip Island this year? They are through the sky.
On the off chance that Casey's going to ride.
They're making more money out of the fact that Casey may or may not than they are out the fact they got the
grand. It's in their interest for us to keep it on.
So Casey's on a backhander from the circuit for the organisers, is he?
The great thing about Casey is you know he don't care about that.
Hey, but one thing is clear, he was quick. He was seriously quick in a test.
Did you see what Lorenzo said? He said he's amazing.
The talent.
I actually wrote it down, but I can't get my pad out quick enough to actually do it. But I wrote the quote down because I remember thinking, if Jorge Lorenzo is saying something like that about somebody... I know he's more friendly with Casey than he is with anyone else, which may just give him that extra little bit of momentum. But I just think that when somebody like Lorenzo is blowing smoke up the kilt of
another rider, potential opponent.
Yeah.
Well, one thing seems clear: it's going to be quick, and perhaps the quickest ever. Since we were on the roads, obviously, I think Spa will always hold that one. The old
Barry Sheen's record.
127 mile an hour around Spa. Have you ever been around that bit of the course? Go and have a look. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen.
On a misfiring RG500.
We often talk about top speeds, don't we? But here we talk about average, top average speed.
Average speed is much more scary.
I've just looked at... Because I've had a summer holiday, you know. Troy Bayliss is a lap record holder around here. According to my notes here. How about that?
From the World Superbike days.
Yeah, from World Superbike. Lorenzo, talent of Casey is unbelievable. That is a hell of a phrase to use for anybody.
Yeah.
For
a multiple world champion, to use about another rider.
Actually, it was Ian Ainley's birthday this week as well, already. I'll tell you what, I won't give it all away because I've got it all written down.
Save something, Gabe.
It's okay. This is our podcast. Digital Dan will just moan at me if I don't get it all out there.
Well, let's move on to Moto2 while we can. Johann Zarco, so strong in Germany, in every condition now. He's turned his season around from a bit of a slow start, looked a little bit nervous defending his title.
And Rins was on the deck as well in Germany. So
I was quite amused at the Tech 3 wars start this year.
Yes.
Folger and Zarco. Yep. I mean, when Folger slung it underneath Zarco, I have the perfect line. Yes. Got the drive to the flag brilliantly.
Yes.
I do like those two. I think that's going to be a great team
next
year.
I agree completely.
MotoGP for them.
And Johann Zarco said at the start of the year, well, why did you do another year in Moto2? He says, well, Pedrosa and Lorenzo went up as double champions. Maybe I can do the same.
He's a huge favourite.
Huge favourite to do so.
In terms of Moto2 riders, a lot of them coming up into MotoGP, as you said there, Jonas Folger as well, making the step up. Sam Lowes, Alex Rins.
Sam Lowes has got on very well with that motorbike.
Yes.
He tested here, didn't he?
He's getting
the transponders off. Something else we'll maybe talk about.
You should do. We don't want to be putting people under pressure.
But for Bradl and Bautista, who are testing as well, simply because I think the rumour is that KTM was going so well and it might have embarrassed them.
Well, they were 1.7 off, weren't they, KTM? I think they, from what I've...
Which is closer than Suzuki were when they came back for their first test. That is a great point of context,
young Gav.
Yeah, and that's who... It's the software again. It's the simpler software. He's made it that little bit easier.
Well, they're starting with that platform as well. So
exactly.
So apparently,
was that Michelangelo, I take it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He was top. Tom Lutie was out there as well.
Michelangelo scheduled to wild card on the KTM at Valencia.
Still on with the Brits, of course. Danny Webb not here this weekend. He's off now on his holidays to go and play on the roads, I think it is. And Danny Kent, I saw him on the Urta truck earlier today as well. He's looking forward to the second half of the year.
He feels
like he's underperformed a bit at the moment, but he seemed to have a very level... Tell you what, he's a different kid from a couple of years ago, he is. He just seems to be very level-headed with it.
I think that break could have come at a good point
Kent. I really think so. So look out for Danny Kent in the second half.
I think it just takes time to percolate down, doesn't it?
Maybe he's a man of two halves. Last year he had the first half, which was brilliant, and the second half that just kept us biting our nails all the way through it.
So that was the first time you've ever seen Danny Kent do that, because it always used to be the second half of the season where he was strongest. Yeah, and you always say, why can't you do this at the beginning of the year?
Because it takes a while to filter down.
Maybe it's about filtered through them.
On the Brit, Sam Lowes, can he get his title challenge back on track? Can Alex Rins?
Not if Zarco carries on like he is, no.
That is exactly the point.
I asked the question last year, Jules, will Zarco come out of the summer break as strong as he was before? Because quite often the summer break can work two ways for you. You can be too relaxed, you can be whatever it is, and you can lose the momentum of a championship, or you can gain the momentum of a championship. Zarco came out the summer break last year, no difference whatsoever, was still absolutely millimetre perfect.
Yep. And he is, as you said, a slowish start, as he got his head round the situation, whatever, various reasons. But in the last half, four or five races of the season, my God, has he been impressive.
Yeah, peerless. And in Moto3, Brad Binder, much the same, although wet last time out, and it was Powie who did the business.
Too tight. But I tell you what, the anxiety level on the team was not as high as it was in Argentina. In Argentina, they were convinced he was going to crash, and they were trying to slow him down. This time around, Tadio Carter and company were a little cooler,
but he was still getting quicker.
Unbelievable, wasn't he? Yes. I mean, the kid certainly can ride when it's a bit slippy.
Feeling for a bike under those
He needs
conditions.
To find the driver, doesn't he, now?
But he does, but Malaysian riders... like him, who've come from the pocket bike, the mini bike, the underbones, they reckon to do 40% of races they have are in the wet, and Malaysian wet.
And on slippy old tracks.
On
on the road.
Yeah,
a lot of the cub.
Yeah, 40% of their races are wet, and no wonder the kid's good in the wet.
Brad Binder here, it's home territory, isn't it? His sponsor, the team, Red Bull KTM, it's all made for them here this weekend. He had a good test here, says he enjoys the track. But they're going to have some fun, more than anything, getting up towards turn three, aren't they? Because it's such a steep hill and it's going to take forever.
I'm having a bit of fun with the energy drink wars here at the moment. Monster Jake is wandering around with his monster hat in Dayglow. Everybody is... there's the big competition this weekend. It's obviously the Red Bull Ring, but... Monster Energy have a fair presence in this paddock, and there was nothing they would like more than to see their guys more prominent in the press at the Red Bull Ring than anybody else.
What about John McPhee as well? He's had the gearbox upgrade last time out, and it served him well.
It did. He looked good. He's lost his teammate, though. Alexei Masbou has parted.
Yeah, Arenas has come in, hasn't he?
Yes.
Albert or Albert?
Albert.
Albert. Oh, halfway between then.
Albert, yeah. Albert Arenas riding the Spanish Championship on on a Mahindra. And he had actually tested with the team.
And he's wildcarded or been Aspar's third entry a couple of times this year as well.
Tell you what,
but McPhee's P6 was...
Oh, brilliant. But that's what he's capable of. Yeah. And that's what he needs to do.
That's he should be.
Next year is a big year. There's a big year coming next year, and John McPhee, there's a lot of rumours around what's going on team-wise next year for him as well. We've got to keep an eye on what happens with John McPhee for next year. I'm convinced he will be back. Do you know something? While we're talking, ladies and gents, the main press, the first press gathering of the weekend is going on the Thursday night, as is normal. Cal Crutchlow looks as disinterested as usual at one end. They look like the usual suspects. But haircuts seem to be the... obviously, they've gone for lightweight for the second half, because everybody has had a really, close haircut this weekend.
Well, it's got to last them for 14 weeks. They will get judged to go
Crutchlow's almost beard-free.
I tell you what, he looked... 5 years younger Didn't when he? I saw him this morning in the lounge. All the weight of...
I saw him in the hire car at Vienna Airport. I thought, is that Cal?
Yeah.
No. Oh, God, it is. Yeah. You know, it took me a second look to recognise
him. No, he looked very... that could be a proper weapon if he makes that work this weekend. I mean, if you're going down the betting shop, maybe Cal...
So I'm going to ask you, actually, before anyone's turned a wheel, three winners, quickly.
Oh, three winners. Let's all get Zarco in as the banker for Moto2.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll go Zarco with you in Moto2.
Oh, I hate going with the same thing.
Well, look, so do I, but...
I've been saying Iannone, haven't I, since we got in the hire car and so on, because I'd better stick with Andrea Iannone.
I'm going to say Marc Marquez.
Leaving Keith to...
contemplate.
I'm going for a Bagnaia repeat in Moto3.
I'm going to go with a Brad Binder.
I'm going to go Binder, yeah.
I'm going on a long shot. That's my sporting bet of the weekend.
I'm not putting any sporting bets in, but Binder, Zarco, Marquez.
that's an investment, that's Gavin, not a bet.
That's gambler's
bet. I tell you what, though, you ain't going to get much back on it, that is for certain. You're going to have to put a lot on to get
a pound. A whole row of favourites.
Who am I going to go for on race win, then? Oh, damn.
Come on, Hugh, and make a decision.
I know, I've got to, but I think it's a Ducati job, and because I'm going to be devil's advocate, I'm going to play with Dovi.
Good man.
I'm gonna say Dovi on his 250th Grand Prix is gonna make it a fairy tale Red Bull.
And in Moto 2, what did you say?
Zarco. Can't be
you are an absolute nerk to bet against Zarco at the moment in Moto 2.
Nerks all over the paddock in MotoGP. Cheers, Keith. Cheers, Jules. Well, let's find out if we're right when you download our review podcast following the race here in Germany. Remember, of course, you can watch every session live with us this weekend on BT Sport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.